Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies, and welcome to episode 134. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going,
guys?
Ticky, 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 ticky.
You having a fit over there?
He's having a seizure.
Technical problems.
getting used to the tech engineer.
Oh, that's it. Ticky-tacky-tacky. I have to say something.
Tech talk.
I don't really pay much attention to these numbers, but they're getting bigger. Is that how math works?
Pretty much. If it's increasing, that's
a good sign. Right?
Yeah, good. It goes up.
Nate, you're looking at me like
I saw a thing today about math.
Oh,
if you're born in 2010 and it's 2018,
yeah.
Well, you take the 10 and add the 8, so now you're 18. Right?
No.
No,
that's what this doctor thought.
What?
Huh? A doctor?
Are you being yeah. funny?
Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, someone actually posted that.
For real?
Yeah.
You thought it was too? Huh?
Oh my goodness sakes! That's fuzzy math right there.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor of what though?
Dr.
Exactly.
Seuss.
I do not know.
Not a doctor of mathematics.
No.
No.
Jeez.
I mean, I guess you can label anybody as a doctor.
That's fair.
Yeah.
A doctor of love.
Yeah. Gene Simmons.
Right.
Yeah. He's Dr. Love. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, there's all kinds of doctors. There's, yeah.
But no, we're going to be like, we're going to.
What are we going to be?
We're going to mess around and be at 150, and then we're going to mess around and be at 200.
Well, you're talking about fulls?
200. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Where are we at with minis? 120s?
I thought you were talking about listens.
Do what?
I thought he was talking about listens.
Oh.
Oh, that I have no idea. Well, we had track, you got something.
100. 384, 385,000. Mm-hmm. I'll have to look. Well, it's updated right now. You know what? Let's take a look at
take
it.
Take a look.
Well, I know you mentioned like, people are like, oh, geez. If you average it out across all of our episodes, it's like 15.
It's 1505 now.
1505.
Oh, that's
it's going to
cool.
go down because tonight's, or the episode that drops tonight, because it's going to drop it down. But then as we go the rest of the week, then it goes
it'll
back
rebound.
Up. Yeah.
I think we should call him about that.
Huh?
We need to call him about that. I shouldn't have.
Fix that.
Yeah.
You look...
hey, I want to make a suggestion.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This is not how this should work.
Nate, our tech engineer, says you should change it. Yeah.
Hey. Nate, I have to make an observation.
I know numbers.
I have to make an observation. You look up like you're up to something tonight, like you have your ornery. You just have that look.
He is kind of coming out a little bit.
Deadly
of
a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I'm operating on 3 hours
he
of
seems
sleep.
Little, crud. He
is it caffeine? That's, I was going to say, are you drinking caffeine?
Energy drinks and caffeine. Yes.
That's it.
Wow. I'm surviving.
Nice.
Then I'll have 3 hours of sleep tonight.
Oh, man.
Nice. I got five last night.
And
I was
so
like,
then we're not recording for a couple weeks. We're taking a break-ish.
Yeah.
Right?
But our creepies will not miss
they
out.
They won't notice.
Train keeps rolling.
Nope. Keep all night
what are you
long,
doing
right?
again? Oh, yeah. Your work, your shift. Your whatever.
You got night
shift. Yeah, I got night shift, baby.
And then what's those hours?
Then
six
fall
to seven.
Break.
Nah, we conversed a little bit today, and we are going to do 4 to 2:30.
4 to 2:30.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, that's the best time to go to the dentist is 2:30.
2:30.
But, wow. Have you ever done that shift? That's a terrible shift. I hate
Sounds
that.
Like a terrible
oh,
shift.
Oh, I've done all sorts of numerous things. When I was at FedEx, I did 10:30 to 4:30, something like that.
Yeah.
I've done 8 o'clock to whatever. I've done 6 to 4:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've done all sorts of different shifts.
Well, when
you said
I was
shift,
like, you had that F in there.
Shift.
Yeah, that is an hard F.
Yeah.
Oh, we got what you're saying.
I mean, really, I mean, day shift isn't all great either. So,
give me a day shift. I had a night shift because I was in day shift all my life until 15 years, and then I got a night shift job for a year and a half, just short of a year and a half, and it was 10 o'clock at night till 7 in the morning, and that was hard to get used to because doing 15 years of just 8 to 5 job, I'm like, oh, my gosh. But I adjusted. And
yeah, you always adjust.
And the good thing was I worked I'd go in on Sunday night, so I was Sunday to Thursday. So I had Friday, Saturday, and then all day Sunday. So I had a great schedule, but the shift was a little, for about 3 months. It was a little rough. But
Dolly Parton, member 9 to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
She always made it sound so glorious. Right?
Yeah. What about it? What about the show? No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I had a 9 to 5.
Shout out to Dolly, right?
Shout out to Dolly. So, yeah, here we are. Anything else you guys want to say? Before we get to, you know, the best
part
of the show.
We're spoiled being together a couple nights this week, so that's fun.
Mm-hmm. It was nice. Yeah, we met last night, didn't we? Mm-hmm. You guys look familiar.
We should.
Like two guys I saw last night.
Your brothers.
Well, let's get to it. The dad joke of the show. Mm-hmm. Really proud of this one.
Sorry. I hear the excitement's building.
You know, I know the listeners are out there.
The excitement's building.
Oh, you will not.
Oh, okay.
You will not.
What if I do, though? Well, that'll throw you a curveball. No way.
I don't know. So the other day, I found a wooden shoe in our toilet. It was clogged. Hey-o.
I didn't get to guess anything.
That's right. And I said it fast.
Was it a floater?
Yeah.
Flush it down.
It was a floater.
Flush it down.
There you go. If you have a wooden shoe in your toilet, it's probably clogged. Mm. So that's the dad joke of the show. And as always, you are welcome.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. I like that one. So anyway, I'm going to move
on. Backing away slowly from that.
Brought to you by Log.
It's log. It's log.
We yeah.
It's big.
We got the reference.
Yeah.
It's big. God. It's what is it?
It's big. It's heavy. It's wood.
It's wood. That's funny.
It's better than bad. It's good.
Better than bad. It's good. Good. Yeah.
Well, hey, and I'm glad you enjoyed that joke, Mr. Sean. How about the first announcements, please, sir?
First part of the announcements. We like to say this every time. Okay, let's be honest. I do. We come here for the guy time. We come here for the creepy, the paranormal, the fun. That's what this podcast is definitely about to a large degree. But guess what? It's even more about building a mental health community. So we want to make sure you guys are getting help out there, all of us. Call or text 988 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you may be experiencing. You can also text HOME to 741-741 for professional help. If you or someone you know is experiencing bullying, contact stopbullying.gov for help. Reach out to us on our Facebook group, Instagram account, email, or message us for added support. That is what our Mako family is all about, don't you know?
That's right.
That's
amen.
Right. Yeah, truly.
You know what you do to a bully?
Punch him in the face.
Yeah, you bully him.
You bully. I mean, why? Yeah. Hey, bully a bully.
Speak their language.
Two wrongs make a
is
right.
That a
is
song? Bully, bully. Oh, no, it's woolly,
woolly. Woolly, woolly.
Bully, bully. Something like that. I don't know. I don't.
No, this is incorrect information. Don't listen to us.
Don't listen to Nate.
I kind of like it. You bully him back. No, that's anyway, yes.
Eye for an eye, right?
That's right. Make sure our creepies are healthy. So thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Do what you need to do, creepies.
Shout outs. Like. Oh, wait, no. That's
shout outs. Special announcements. Sean, do you have any shout outs?
I'm going to skip it this time.
Okay. All right. Good. Nate.
Good. I don't like your shout outs anyway.
Nate, any shout outs?
No.
No.
Two goose eggs.
He'll
right
surprise us every once in a while with a shout out.
Every once in a while.
And again, you have to be pretty special for Nate to get a shout out.
I've never got a shout out from Nate. Never.
And you
know
what?
I probably have.
And you are.
You get
this.
To see me.
That's it. In all your glory.
I said you have to be pretty special. He is pretty special.
That's right. No. Are you talking about me? Yeah. That's me.
I like to think myself as the groundhog.
Yeah. You know, you think so?
I only come out to see my shadow once a year.
It only comes out.
Nate only gives one shout out a year. I have a shout out.
Okay.
So this lady, so my mom and I went to the Oasis Diner.
Oasis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Having a hard time saying that. Oasis Diner here in Plainfield, Indiana. We had been planning a lunch for about 3 weeks and just couldn't find the time, but we did yesterday. We had one of the best servers. Her name is Nanya, and she said, it's going to be easy to remember. Just remember
Nanya Business.
Nanya Business. That's exactly what
that's
she
hilarious.
Said. a sweetheart. She did a great job. I told her, I gave her a card. I know it's weird. Gave her a business card. Gave her two of them.
Never happened.
And she was so excited, and she's like, oh my gosh, this is right up my alley. So I think we've got a new listener, new
nice.
Creepy.
Cool.
And she says she's going to give her friend the other card. Nanya. So shout out to Nanya. You did a fantastic job taking care of my mom and I.
At the Oasis.
At the Oasis Diner. Yeah, it was awesome.
Nanya Business.
Nanya Business. So I like how I think she spells her name N-A-N-J-I-A. So it looks like Nanjia, but it's Nanya. Hmm. So, and Nanya Business. So shout out to her.
Ninja.
Yeah. So I told her we're about two episodes ahead, or I don't know what we are now. So I said it might be a couple of weeks till you hear it, but I haven't missed one yet. So shout out to Nanya. Thank you for taking care of us. Only one announcement. Saturday, October 21st, of course, we are doing our Mako on location at the awesome, fantastic, and just plain, what, Sean, how do we describe it? Just amazing store?
Yes.
Is that how we would say it?
It's our Mecca, isn't it?
That's debatable.
Don't say that, Vincini.
Oh, no.
Just going to have to get myself another giant.
Greenwood Happy Haunts. Scott and Corey Steenburgen are the awesome owners of this fantastic shop and store.
Amen, brother.
It's great, and they're always having new stuff in there. Just come out and see us. We're going to do an on-location. We're going to have some merch, little baggies to give out. And come check their store out, because you will be amazed at all the different. They've got, like, retro horror, you know, and then the new stuff, and a lot of handmade Halloween decorations in fall, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's so we're gonna be at Greenwood Happy Haunts on Saturday, October 21st from 11 a.m. to 5. So come out and see us. Mm-hmm. And Scott and Corey,
we love them.
I suppose.
Don't listen to
there.
Nate.
We as in not Nate and I, Todd and I.
Yeah,
not so much Nate.
I've been there three times. They like me. They're like, yeah, we like Sean. That Nate, I'm not sure about him.
I guess I've only been once then, right?
Doors always locked when I show up.
Right.
They're going to try
all the night.
Come on, hurry, Todd, Sean. Get in. We're trying to keep Nate out. I said, no, we need Nate because he's got to record it for us. I'll talk to them. So. Yeah, anyway, so come out. It's going to be fun. I can't wait for that. What is that, about 3 weeks away-ish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be fun.
3 weeks from Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have for special announcements, and let's get right to it. Sean, what are we going to talk about?
Well, this is going to be my pick, and, of course, I always have to highlight my picks. We are going to talk about haunted battlefields. We've decided that we are going to do some in America. We'll do some around the world. We'll do some throughout all of eternity, I guess. No.
So the only
something like that.
Only stipulation is haunted in battlefield.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's our parameters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't really have a good background because what do you say? We've had
it's a plot
lots,
of land.
Lots of war.
Yeah, it's an area.
Two adversaries mm-hmm. go toe-to-toe and fight each other and kill each other. And
they get home.
Somebody usually wins.
You know, though, if somebody goes toe-to-toe, it's going to be kind of boring, just touching toes. Isn't that weird, though? It's kind of creepy.
I guess they can go shin to shin. That hurts.
Shin. Oh, man. No.
Butt to butt.
Ooh. Okay. Settle down over there. Let's
Carl.
Shin to shin. That's better than Sean to Sean.
That's right. Hey, we're out there.
So Haunted Battlefield.
Yes.
Yes, that is your pick. So you really don't want to give a foundation.
Not really.
I don't blame you. You want to start then?
Sure.
Do you have a
Haunted
Battlefield?
We're going to go back in time on all these, right? So
going back in time.
All right. So we're going to go to Antietam Battlefield. We're talking Civil War here. The bloodiest battle of the Civil War took place, although Gettysburg is pretty bloody too, right? One of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War took place on September 17th, 1862, at Antietam Creek near the small town of Sharpsburg, Maryland. 4 hours of intense fighting took place on an old sunken road that separated two farms. A staggering 23,100 men were wounded, killed, or missing in the action after the Union and Confederate armies collided in the nearby cornfields, farmlands, and Antietam Creek. When the Confederate Army reached the sunken road, which provided some protection at first, General Robert E. Lee ordered that the battlefield be held there. Soldiers on both sides fired continuously as the Federals tried repeatedly to overtake the position. Finally, the Confederate soldiers were overrun, and bodies fell on top of bodies in the blood-sunken Road. Today we know it as Bloody Lane, right?
Bloody Lane.
Ooh, it's great. And if you've ever taken the occasion to walk, you will indeed go back in time and be humbled by the experiences. It's kind of breathtaking to see it. The tragic, I've never been there, but I'm just looking at the pictures. The tragic impressions of that day seem to linger. It seems that no matter how many visitors roam the old road on any given day, it remains church-like quiet. The sunken road, later renamed Bloody Lane, where more than 5,000 Union and Confederate soldiers lost their lives. According to eyewitnesses, Bloody Lane is haunted. Gunfire, the smell of gunpowder, have been reported when no one is on the road or even nearby. One visitor to the battlefield saw several men in Confederate uniforms walking Bloody Lane. He thought they were reenactors until they vanished. The most convincing of the reports is the one of some Baltimore schoolboys who walked Bloody Lane and heard singing out in the fields. They said it sounded like a chant or the Christmas song Deck the Halls. They heard a chant similar to fa-la-la-la-la sound repeatedly. The area was near the observation tower where the Irish Brigade charged the Confederates with a battle cry in Gaelic, which sounded like the Christmas Carol. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. That is truly weird.
So, yeah. There's another haunted area. It's called the Burnside's Bridge. It's also known as the Roarback Bridge, where General Ambrose Burnside pushed the Confederates back. After many defeated attempts, many soldiers were buried quickly in and around the bridge in unmarked graves. Visitors at night have reported seeing balls of blue light moving around the sound of the drum, playing cadence as it fades into the night. Perhaps the Battle of Antietam is not over for some young, restless spirits.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, I think of all the... You know, they say that a lot of the places, like, you know, where there's tragedy, as I hit the microphone, hospitals and asylums and all that, and prisons, battlefields, definitely. All the death. I mean, that's what...
Well, and the people that got injured, too, they would, you know, a lot of people had amputations. And back then, they say...
A lot of suffering.
Heard that a lot of Gettysburg stories and all the Civil War stories, but they were... Mm-hmm. The surgeons were not skilled surgeons, and they weren't really versed on anatomy. They were versed in the swiftness and the quickness cutting off a limb, you know, and trying to get it, you know, to stop bleeding. But most people would go into shock or die just from that. I mean, and screaming.
Well,
and
they
yelling,
wouldn't.
So
gangrene.
They might.
They'd bite on a stick.
Right. Sure. They...
The old bite on a stick trick.
You know, it could be somebody's house or a church that they turned into a quick hospital, you know, and then they say those places still have, like, the screams of soldiers.
What do they call those places?
Well, what's that one? Was it like a museum or something? They go down to the basement and open it up, and it'd be a battlefield.
We talked about that many, many years
ago. We did?
Years ago. Well, it has been years ago.
We talked about it years ago?
There's some building, hospital or something.
Well, it was years ago.
It was like a triage center.
Triage, that's what I was thinking about, by the way.
For the war.
And we, really? I don't...
Or that... That
was on one of our first episodes, man. Yeah. Okay, Creepies, you're on. Your homework is to go find what the heck we were talking
about. It's a
test. I do remember
the story,
but I can't remember.
Well,
where.
They'd come down on the elevator, and then when the doors open, it'd be a battlefield in front of them.
Really? I don't know.
Makeshift hospital.
Or a makeshift hospital. Yeah.
Doctors and soldiers that were from another era.
It must have been one of the first ones, because I don't remember. Or there's a lot I don't remember.
But I cannot remember what building or place that was. Yeah. I do remember. Maybe we'll find that tonight.
Interesting. Now I want to find that because I'm anyway. That's good.
Now you got to start at episode one.
Yeah.
Listen.
Great. Now I got to start all
again. It won't take
Here
too
we go.
Long.
Hey, I found it.
It'll only take a couple weeks.
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Well, it might take a couple months.
Yeah, that's, the battlefields, man, that's brutal. Yeah, a lot of suffering. If not death, a lot of just awful.
You say Bloody Lane. I keep getting Penny Lane in my head.
Penny Lane
Dane
is
was
in my head.
Waving.
Oh.
Hey, Dane.
Yeah. He wants to join us. You know that.
Nate, do you want to go next, or do you want me to go?
Sure. How about this place called Gettysburg?
Never heard of it.
Yes.
The Battle of Gettysburg is widely known as one of the bloodiest battles in American Civil War. More than 50,000 men were killed, wounded, or lost in action. Today, anyone who visits Gettysburg, which I have, can attest to the creepy sights and sounds that you'll find there. And you can even take a ghost tour. Some say that up to 10,000 soldiers still haunt the battlefield to this day, and it's not just the battlefield that experiences paranormal activity. Nearby historical buildings experience it as well, especially those that were used as makeshift hospitals during the and after the battle. From ghostly apparitions on the battlefield to eerie noises to odd lights, visitors report a wide variety of odd occurrences on the actual battlefield. In nearby buildings, anything can happen. Doors lock on their own, lights flicker, and objects move freely. It's truly a hub for paranormal activity. I don't understand why.
Yeah. Who knows?
I don't get it.
I had to do a little editing because it says flights flicker.
Flights?
Yeah, I don't think flights flicker. But lights
I mean,
do.
They could. Those flickering flights. Those lights on liquored. Miss Aaron mm-hmm. went there, and I think she posted the video of the
cigarette.
Yeah, mm-hmm. cigarette that lights and all that.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Well, you put it on the rail and it'll
yeah,
turn.
On the ball. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's crazy.
You know, one of the most interesting stories, and there's a lot of stories from Gettysburg and a lot of haunted areas around the mm-hmm. town of Gettysburg, but there was one that was, you know, the movie Gettysburg, which is phenomenal, by the way.
Never, but, I don't know.
Oh, you've never seen it? Mm-hmm. It's really good. But,
yeah.
It, what, oh, shoot. Denzel Washington.
No. Okay.
I lost that on my
head. Matthew Broderick was in it, right?
Morgan Freeman was Morgan in it, too. Yeah. I mean, they had so many stars, but they said for they needed a ton of extras. So they used a lot of...
I thought that was called something else. I thought that was... Because I know Matthew Broderick... It was like in the 90s, right?
He was Matthew Broderick was in it. But yeah, it was Gettysburg.
Is it Gettysburg?
Well, they had a couple different Civil War Gettysburg movies. Anyway, but this one... But for the actual movie Gettysburg, they had the extras were reenactors, a lot of them they used, they said. And so they were sitting, it was getting closer to getting the end of the day, and they were sitting around in all their, you know, their clothes and everything and their uniforms. And they said an old man who was disheveled and looked from that era, but they knew he wasn't one of the extras that was working there, but they thought, oh, well, he must be like passing out fake ammunition or whatever. And he was going around, and they said he smelled funny and, you know, but he was passing out all this stuff, and they're like, who is this guy? And he's talking about how, you know, intense the battle is and all, you know, and they're like, man, what, you know, we're not filming right now. So why is he in character? And then he runs off and they're looking at this ammunition. They're like, what is this? Like this fake ammunition or whatever. Well, they looked into it. This was actual like Civil War era ammunition, and they were like, it was like an apparition, you know, or ghost from the era. But because they said there's nobody, you know, there's no other, you know, the reenactors that were there were part of the film crew, and mm-hmm. they were like, otherwise nobody could explain who this guy was. But he looked straight up out of, you know, the Civil War era, out of the battle. But he was like talking about like he had been there. So just either somebody had mental illness and just happened to have relics from the Civil War that they could pass out, and why they would do that, who knows. But they said this legitimately, they looked into it because they were like, oh, this is just fake, you know, ammunition. It was the real deal.
Yeah, that's cool. The movie I'm thinking of is Glory.
Glory. Glory
is Matthew Broderick. I think that's the one.
Oh, you know what? You might be right. Yeah, but anyway, okay, sorry, yeah.
They're both good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I think you guys were making it up. No, I'm just kidding. No, I
do that.
Yep, yeah. That's my my whole life's made.
You're right.
That's how I get by. No, that is a cool story. It's like, wait a minute.
They're both good.
This dude, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's this guy passing out ammunition? Yeah, that'd be cool to go to.
Yeah, a lot of the buildings still have. Someday. Obviously, they're brick buildings and stuff, so they have like all the indentations of the bullets that are still stuck in the walls.
Think about that.
Cannonball holes and. It's really neat.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so Tom Berenger is in it. This is Gettysburg.
Like
Martin
Berger.
Sheen, Stephen Lang, Jeff Daniels, Sam Elliott, one of our favorites. So those, yeah, okay, that's right. C. Thomas Howell.
Yeah, those are great actors.
Okay, yeah, now I look at it. Yeah, you're right.
You know,
yeah,
Stephen Lang played Ike Clanton in Tombstone. You know, do you know that?
Ike Clanton, remember.
I do remember that. I do remember that.
Remember. Yeah, and he was in what was the movie that had Avatar? He was in Avatar. He was mm-hmm. the bad guy, the general or whatever. And yeah, my wife's like, "That's the same guy that played Ike Clanton." I'm like, "Yep." Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tom Berenger is a good actor. Who C. Thomas Powell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's good. Yep. Yeah.
Both of those movies are chalked full of.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the story that they were that I'd heard of is from the movie Gettysburg.
Gotcha.
I wonder if that, you'd like to hear some stories from Glory. I wonder if they probably got some too.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, good deal. That was a good story, Nate. So I'm going to go abroad. Not a woman, but abroad. Battle of Stalingrad. Just got a little short story here. Mm-hmm. So the Battle of Stalingrad, with more than 2 million deaths, that's a lot. The Battle of Stalingrad has been called one of the most deadly battles in all of human history. The incident saw the clash of Soviet, German, Romanian, Italian, Hungarian, and Croatian troops. Nazi Germany and its allies were fighting to gain control of a Russian city. The battle lasted more than 5 months, with the Soviets ultimately winning. Now, entire sections of neighborhoods in the city are said to be extremely haunted by the dead. It is reported that the dead have continued living their normal lives as ghostly figures roaming the places where they once lived. 2 million deaths.
That's crazy.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of cheddar.
In 10 years, that's how many Vietnamese died. It was 2 million.
5 months.
That's just over five. That's insane.
That's crazy. Yeah. So the battle of Battle of Stalingrad. So I remember learning about that, but man, I don't remember much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a picture. It says a Red Army soldier marches a German soldier into captivity after the Battle of Stalingrad. And it's like, oh man, he's got this, machine gun or whatever. And it's and the guy, the German soldier is, he's all bloodied. He looks like he's freezing. It's like, oh man, they just beat the crap out of this guy. It's just oof. Awful. So anyway, that was a quick one for me. So
that's one thing they say, the Germans with the Russians were so accustomed to cold winters, and they knew how, when to not fight, when to fight, when to, and the Germans are like, how bad can it be? It can be pretty bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it can lose battles, lose wars, obviously. So,
yep.
Oops.
That happens. In
I'm glad the Germans did make those.
So, like, compare that to sports. Like, if you're a college team, football team in Florida or Arizona, California, and then you travel to the Midwest or the East, you're in Michigan, Wisconsin.
You're not conditioned.
Yeah, or the NFL, like when the teams go from Florida to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. The teams, they practice in it. They play.
It's cold.
So it's
a different, obviously, it's a whole different feel.
Yeah. So anyway, what you got, Sean?
I was telling off of that, it's interesting that Harrison playing football, they're sweating right now and they're, slipping around. But I told him, it's going to get cold.
So,
yep, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
You have the other end of it. The next one I want to talk about is D-Day. Mm. So D-Day, which is June 6th, 1944, says, in case you've ever wondered what the D in D-Day stands for, the standard answer is nothing. In military operations, D was simply code for day, the exact date to be determined depending on weather and other conditions. But anyone who lived through the actual experience of D-Day would tell you that the D stands for death. As American, British, and Canadian troops neared Normandy coast on June 6, 1944, in the first wave of the invasion, Operation Neptune, they were suddenly besieged by a barrage of gunfire from the waiting Germans strategically positioned atop the jagged cliffs overlooking the channel. It was not a battle. It was wholesale slaughter. The Allied troops were essentially sitting ducks in full view of the enemy, who picked them off with deadly precision. By nightfall, the casualty toll was 9,000 dead and wounded. One veteran of Operation Neptune, Sergeant Thomas Valance of Company A, 116th Infantry Regiment, U.S. 29th Division, recalled that by and large, the American troops were inexperienced recruits with no combat experience, totally unprepared for what awaited them. Came down the ramp in water pretty much knee-high and started to do what we were trained to do, go forward, crouch down, and fire. It talks about how awful the slaughter was. But it says, D-Day left its grim aftermath in both the memories of survivors and persistent psychic phenomenon that would be reported on beaches and villages of Normandy. One story is in particular fascinating because it involves the ghost of the 116th Thomas Valance's regiment. A young woman, we'll call her Kathy, who was visiting Normandy with her grandmother, tells the eerie tale. I went to France with my grandma in 1999. We went to Normandy to see all the villages there and the place where D-Day occurred. Later that night, my grandma was awakened by a deep male voice that kept on on repeating, "Help me, help me, help me, my leg." Then it would stop. The next night, my grandma was awakened again, and this time she saw the person clearly. She said he was a captain. He was in the 116th Division and was part of the first wave to hit the beach. He lost his leg when he was going up the beach. He was hit by a mortar and then was shot in the head. I asked her how he could know all that stuff, and she said, "He told me. From that day, I was scared stiff." Apparently, Kathy's experience was nothing out of the ordinary. So it goes on to tell so many people that go visit there. Number one, you get a lot of, like, and I just got chills up and down my spine, but they just, there's this peace that comes on there of the, walking that beach, of how many lives were lost so quickly. But you can also, they see Germans in their helmets. They hear the German being yelled, or, you know, the commands back and forth. They hear American soldiers, British, Canadian, that are moaning and groaning and being slaughtered and killed. Saving Private Ryan gives you a good example of what that would feel like. My grandfather never saw that movie either, but and he was not part of Normandy, but he got to see a lot of World War II battles firsthand. And they're like Battle of the Bulge and all that kind of stuff, and nasty, nasty stuff. But Normandy, they said it was. It truly, they were sitting ducks. And, I mean, people could survive, but it was not easy to do. But there's just so much still residual energy there. But I think that is so, sobering, you know, of a thought.
Yeah.
I would love to visit there. I honestly would. I mean, I think it's such a historic place, but it's so sad that, you know, so much life had to be sacrificed, basically to win the war. But they knew the Germans were ready for it. And even though it was this, you know, massive planned invasion, and they thought it was going to be this wonderful thing, it was like, no, they really had to sacrifice to be able to get anywhere.
I was going to ask you, I was like, what is the movie with Tom Hanks? And you said Saving, I have not seen it, but I heard like the first scene, guy gets shot, and I'm like, oh man. Like, I see, I don't like war movies, mm-hmm. so I can't watch them. I just don't like them.
Well, they say they see soldiers in crevices, like kneeling down on both sides in a lot of these places, but this is one of them where they'll still see like gunners, and they're still like trying to, they're looking for the enemy. And so, you also hear the stories of like soldiers from both sides that were like standing guard, and they'll be on the you know, the boundaries, or the trenches, you know, and it's kind of an understood, like, hey, we're just on watch, and, you know, they might share mm-hmm. a cigarette or whatever. And they say you can still sometimes every once in a while see those apparitions of people standing guard. You know, so the soldiers are still going through those routines, which is really, really creepy, but also, again, very sobering.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah. Hmm. That'd be creepy. Good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Nate.
I have the Battle of, and I hope I say these words correctly, Culloden, marked the squashing of the Jacobite rebellion in the mid-1700s.
Sounds like something from Star Wars, the Jacobites.
Yeah. Possibly. the unsteady terrain and hugely unequal forces made for an easy win for Prince William, easily killing Scottish clans and the troops of Bonnie Princess Charles, or Princes Charles. Some reports say that the win took over an hour of fighting, or took under an hour of fighting. So that was a quick battle. The anniversary of the battle is April 16th, and it is said that on that day, the ghostly fallen soldiers reappear, and sounds of battle, including clashing swords, can be heard. Some tales say individuals have encountered fallen soldiers on the battlefield, as well as one soldier who roams the area in a stunned state. It's also reported that birds do not sing near the burial mounds due to the creepy atmosphere.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is very interesting.
That'd be a cool one to go visit.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, yeah.
No kidding. That's creepy.
April 16th.
Do what?
Visit it on April 16th.
April 16th, yeah. Wow. Under an hour. Man, there's not a lot I can do under an hour, really. I mean, sometimes I can't get my socks and shoes on. that was a good one. I like that. Now I'm going to stay here in America. This is an American Revolutionary War story. The Siege of Siege of Savannah. Love me some Savannah. I told Amy, I said, we're going to, when we retire, let's buy a house like in Savannah. But they won't be cheap. So anyway, it's a pretty expensive city. No, we did. We fell in love with Savannah. Okay, this story. The second bloodiest battle of the American Revolutionary War was fought right here in Savannah, Georgia. Not many people on our ghost tours realize this. This is not an investigator, but an author writing this. After all, many of our tour guests associate the Revolutionary War with Boston, Lexington, and other locations northward. On the west side of Savannah, the Siege of Savannah took place. In October 1779, the French and colonial soldiers tried to retake the city of Savannah. The attack was repulsed by the British. During the course of the fighting, the French and colonists took almost 1,000 casualties. The British had about 150. You can tour part of the preserved battlefield at the Spring Hill Redoubt. I guess Redoubt? D-O-U. I mean, it's spelled like doubt, but I guess Redoubt? Redoubt? Even though Spring Hill is where the bulk of the attack took place, there has been evidence uncovered as far away as Madison Square that suggests that fighting took place there as well. Of course, Madison Square is also thought to be the location of a mass grave of casualties from the Battle of Savannah. Ghosts and paranormal experiences are occasionally reported from people in Madison Square, such as shadow people, visible orbs of light, and more have all been seen there. Of course, the Sorrel Weed House is also on Madison Square, one of the famous haunted homes in Savannah. We saw that, by the way.
I remember you talking about that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I didn't take a tour, but I'd love to. Yeah, it says another bit of information I have uncovered involves Calhoun Square. There is some evidence to suggest, without certainty, that the area of Calhoun Square was the location of skirmishing between the French and British during that October in 1779. The French troops were digging trenches in that area in order to get closer to the British lines. While this is not a positive event, there seems to be a good deal of information and reports to suggest this is true. So there you go. The Siege of Savannah, not the battle. So, yeah, there you go.
I have something that's really interesting. I kind of got off. It wasn't really the beaten path, but I was looking up different like battles and stories and ghost stories and all these things. I have not. Stop me if you guys have heard this stuff, but I have never heard this. You know, we've talked about ghouls before, but there was a whole thing on battlefield ghouls. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
So I saw this in the Civil War, World War One, all kind of different battles. They've talked about seeing figures on battlefields during battles and following battles.
Mm.
Now, of course, ghouls are like humanoid figures that feed on, you know, other, you know, dead things or dying things or weak things or whatever, you know, and they like to feed. It said that these ghouls have been seen running across battlefields. Now, are they monsters that are feeding off of, you know, the body parts of the dead? You know, during and after, you know, they're taking advantage, like they're coming out and like, yes, they're fighting again. Let's destroy them too. You know, let's take part of this carnage. So that's one of the theories. The other is that they are like soldiers that have gone completely insane and then just turned into monsters. So listening to this, like I said, this goes pretty far down the rabbit hole, but there are so many stories out there of people seeing these like specters and monsters running around, you know, battlefields. I thought that was wild. There's just countless numbers of them. And they're in all the different major battles. And again, are they tall tales? Are people, another thing is it's such a psychological strain on people when they're in battle. Are they hallucinating? Yeah. Are they becoming delusional? Potentially.
Well, sometimes they don't sleep days on end.
Right?
Oh, man.
So to have these stories, it may just be, you know, that a shift of their mental state because of the stress that they're under. So no matter what it is, it's weird and it's interesting. And it's not normally just one guy, hey, I saw this, and he tells the other guys. It's like, no, we saw a bunch of us saw it. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, it's kind of like war stories are interesting, you know, and you've probably heard people tell them like, man, that's amazing. You know, with such great detail, they can tell it. But, you know, maybe somebody sat down and like, oh, I'll make my story even more exciting by putting a monster in it. You know, you never know. But they're still interesting to listen to. And that these sightings of specters and ghouls running across the battlefields is really creepy.
Well, there's the phenomenon of mass hallucinations, mm-hmm. you know, where people, mm-hmm. whether it's like seeing an alien or some type of mm-hmm. paranormal something. And so I wonder if that could be part mm-hmm. of it too.
Well, if people are in the same mind frame as,
yeah, exactly. you know,
exhaustion and lack of sleep, then
right.
you suggest one thing, then the other person, yeah, I see it too. Yeah.
But can yeah. you imagine, though, if you, like, say you were of sound mind and body, you're running across trying to keep yourself alive, your buddy's next to you, and you see some kind of freaking monster. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That would just, I don't even know what you'd do. You know what I mean? You got a weapon, but, like, a lot of that stuff can't be killed, you know? Like,
I'm done. I'm going home.
Undead or whatever, you know? Like, oh, I just, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
The other side has monsters.
They win.
Yeah.
I'm going home.
Yeah, I'm done. See ya. Peace.
Peace out.
Real quick, I left out a part on that my little Savannah story. It said that the carnage was so immense at the siege of Savannah that the battle is perhaps one of the main reasons why Savannah is considered to be the most haunted city in America. Obviously, we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it says upon visiting Savannah, people to this day have reported having encounters with these ghosts of the Revolutionary War. And here are, yeah, so then it goes into specific. So I might do that a little bit later. But, you know, when we were in Savannah, I didn't even think about, like, I knew it was Revolutionary War and Civil War days. I was, the stories that we learned about had nothing to do with the war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like maybe a slave owner that built the house and then they had, you know, he killed a slave or they cheated on the wife and then the wife killed herself. You know, I mean, that old type of thing. But I never thought about, like, the actual war or battles mm-hmm. But Savannah was in the heart of it. So, they were just kind of more going into the owners of these properties and if there were suicides, murders, or, you know, somebody died at old age, but then they're still haunting. But I didn't even think about, it's mm-hmm. as far as like the battles that happened there in that city, you know, because we fell in love with Savannah. I was like, oh, so nice. Our kitchen coordinator, Sini is her name. I think it was her grandma's name. But anyway, she's from Savannah. She's got that southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
And she and her mom, I think, her parents still live in Savannah. So she goes there a few times, you know, throughout the year to take vacations or visit on the weekends. So, yeah. Hmm. What an awesome city. So, anyway. Yeah. So who's
I have one.
Oh, Mr. Nate. Yeah.
This is one of my favorites. The Battle of Little Bighorn.
Oh, oh yes.
That's a great one.
Yes.
It's sometimes known as Custer's Last Stand and was a battle between United States cavalry forces and members of the Lakota tribe. The U.S. cavalry was very much so overwhelmed and defeated, in addition to being outnumbered. However, despite this, the casualties were relatively small, at about 450 total. Regardless, the hauntings are widely reported here, with many guests saying they instantly become overwhelmed with the feeling of hopelessness. Others say they experience hallucinations of the battle. One groundskeeper says her on-site home was haunted by a cavalry soldier. Yeah, I like this one because I've been to Mount Rushmore, and that's the area of Lakota tribe.
Yeah.
And some of the members of Lakota tribe were there doing their ring dances and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's really neat.
Yeah, I want to go there, too. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. What was the tribe again?
Lakota.
Lakota.
Like the Dakota.
Okay.
It's the Lakota tribe.
Okay. Gotcha, mm-hmm. gotcha. Yeah, there's so many places in the United States that I'd love to see. Yeah, the national parks and
mm-hmm.
all those.
Yeah, our West trip was fun.
Yeah,
it's like we'd go through, go to what do they call them? The Badlands.
Oh yeah.
Mount Rushmore area. I can't remember what that area is called. It'll come to me at some point, but go out to like Cody, Wyoming, and out to Yellowstone and mm-hmm. the Rockies, and yeah, it's all amazing out there.
usually take a day trip up into Montana. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's God's country, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we went to Phoenix. We stayed in Phoenix for our honeymoon, and then we went to a baseball game in Tempe. We planned a trip that we went to the Grand Canyon. Oh my gosh, took that train ride and that.
Yeah, Grand Canyon.
I'm like, you can't explain it. It's like,
yeah,
I'm literally standing in front of this massive, just this 50 mile ring of just red and blue and gray and just it's huge, you know. And then
it looks like a painting.
That's why I always tell. I say it looks like a painting, and it's like anyway. And then they were doing the mule thing, you know, down. And
yeah, the tour down to the
bottom.
It
looked like they were ants, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then like every other day, we'd be like, okay, now we'll stay, you know, kind of swim and go around the city. And then the next day, we'd do whatever. And we went to Sedona, and we did the Red Rock Jeep tour, where we, you know, the four-wheel drive. Oh, my gosh, that was beautiful, too. It's like, this is amazing. And there's a golf course right in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, unbelievable. Here's this desert. And then there's all of a sudden, oh, beautiful grass, you know, like the tee boxes and the fairways. And it's crazy. But that's the only, like, west type of trip I've been. I've never been to the Dakotas or Montana or Wyoming. I've never been to California or Vegas or.
Yeah, I've been all the way out there.
But Arizona, that was. I want to go back out there. But anyway, Sean, do you have a story pulled up?
I do. The Fort William Henry, Lake George, New York.
Mm.
Staff at the Fort William Henry Museum have plenty of stories of ghostly activity. Although the current structure is a replica, it was built on the spot where hundreds died in what some historians have labeled a massacre at the hands of Native American warriors, including many civilians and sick or wounded British soldiers. Candlelit ghost tours are held certain evenings in the warmer months, depending on the season. Strange sounds, voices, shadowy figures, and objects moving on their own have all been reported on this historic site. Mm. I think that's funny. And even like they talk, there's Alamo's another one that is that talked about where you can still hear the battle cries and the shots and
all the
shadow figures and people reliving it over and over again on all these cannon fire and, you know, just people in the blaze of glory that they're going down, you know, during these battles. It's just weird that this energy gets stuck, you know, in such a dark moment, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's crazy. This was a really good topic, by the way.
Thank you.
Good choice, Sean. Good choice.
I'm always thinking.
I'm going across the pond again. Nice little short story here. The English Wars of the Roses. During the English Wars of the Roses, a battle took place in Towton in the early part of the year, 1461. That's going back a ways. Approximately 30,000 individuals died in total. The battle is said to have taken place during heavy snowfall. That would suck. Now it's reported that every 7 years, the town of Towton will experience a similar heavy snowstorm. If one walks out into the storm to the site of the battle, they'll see the two armies fighting for a little more than 3 hours. Then they disappear for the next 7 years.
Hmm.
Interesting. So it's like it's a loop, but yet every 7 years, it's that is interesting. So I think that'd be kind of cool because it's not like it's every time you go out there, you just kind of have to wait. Yeah, so there you go. The English Battle of the Roses. So what you guys have? You got another one?
I have the Battle of Stalingrad.
I already did that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I thought it sounded familiar.
I was going to say that. Stalingrad, you said.
I've got one. It's Gettysburg. No, I'm just kidding.
I have a... this is a weird one. Chickamauga... Battlefield?
Chickamauga.
Sounds made up.
It is made up.
I tell it anyway.
In northern Georgia, an American Civil War battle occurred that was one of the bloodiest of the South. However, it did not result in a Confederate victory. Mm. Total losses were more than 30,000. Those numbers are unbelievable.
I know.
The most famous ghost located on the battlefield is Old Green Eyes.
Ooh.
Who some don't really know how to categorize. It may be the decapitated ghost head of a Civil War soldier, or it may be a battlefield roaming Native American creature with long hair, fangs, and glowing eyes.
Nice.
I get that's all they say about it. I want more. Yeah, I'd like to know more about this old green eyes. Let me look up old green eyes.
You know, Frank Sinatra was all blue eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got a color for every eye.
Yeah.
So black-eyed children. No, sorry.
Then you got, what was this thing? Green eyes and fangs?
Yeah. If you go with the Native American.
Nice. That's, I don't think so. I don't want that.
Although, Native American stories always had wild imaginations.
I know. Look more up.
That's where
on
a lot
that,
of the good giant stories came from. Remember,
Nate? Whatever.
What's your name over there? Tech engineer.
Here we go. Old Green Eyes.
You have more?
Yep.
Okay.
Is a North American ghoul.
Ghoul.
So that goes back to your ghoul thing.
Yeah.
Boys and ghouls.
The ghoulies.
A North American ghoul-like creature reported to have been sighted among the corpses of American Civil War.
See.
According to a paranormal scholar, the Battle of Chickamauga, which was fought in the 19th and 20th, or on the 19th and 20th of September in 1863 near Snodgrass. Everything just moved on me.
It's awesome.
A second here.
Snodgrass. Yeah.
Snodgrass Hill on the Tennessee-Georgia border was one of the bloodiest battles of the North American Civil War, second only to Gettysburg in regards to number of casualties. A beast with green glowing eyes is claimed to have haunted the land long before the arrival of the Civil War. After the Battle of Chickamauga, some reported seeing such a creature moving among the corpses near Snodgrass Hill. Such reports allegedly described the monster as being human-like, with eerie green eyes and a huge deformed jaw,
ooh,
from which terrifying fangs protruded.
I like it.
In the centuries after the Civil War, visitors and rangers at the Chickamauga National Park have reported encounters with the same green-eyed creature. Some say that the entity is a ghost of a long-dead warrior. Others say that it is something else, something inhuman. Whatever the truth of the matter, the creature is known by those who report encountering it as simply as Old Green Eyes. So, yeah.
Old Green Eyes, not Old Green Eyes.
Old. Okay. With the
in
D.
1970s, two different and unrelated people have had accidents near the same location in the park, having driven their cars off the road, wrecking them after seeing a pair of glowing eyes. However, one of the most notable encounters involved Edward Teeny, a park ranger. Speaking during an interview in 1981, he explained how he was walking through the park at around 4 a.m. I don't know why you'd be walking out there at 4 a.m., but he was. sometime in 1976, when an inexplicable chill rushed over his body. The very next moment, he watched as green eyes being stepped out of the darkness. In his own words, when it passed me, I could see his hair was long like a woman's. The eyes, I'll never forget those eyes. They were glaring, almost greenish orange in color, flashing like some sort of wild animal. The teeth were long and pointed like fangs. I didn't know whether to run or scream or what. When the headlights of an approaching car came blazing through the fog and the thing disappeared right in front of me. So, yeah.
Where's this at again?
Tennessee, Georgia, state lines.
We need to check this out.
Okay. Near Snodgrass Hill.
Snodgrass Hill. Okay.
Sounds made up.
I like that. That's
I've never heard of Bull Green Eyes.
No, I didn't.
I like haven't it either. I like it too.
That's a really
you took
scary
us down a really creepy road.
I know, uh-huh.
And I like it.
I'm glad you found more on it because, yeah, right. That's
that would have been leaving us hanging.
That's
for
what I said. When I read more the first little thing. I was like, wait a minute, I need more.
That's right.
Sounds vicious. Sounds not good.
Let's go go hunt for old green eyes.
Let's not say we did.
Let's not say we did. do you want me to go, Sean, or do you have?
I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Cold Harbor Battlefield. This is the site of one of America's Civil War's bloodiest, grisliest battles, lasting from May 31st to June 12th, 1864. Over 16,000 soldiers died in the battle, and a large number of the dead were never properly buried, which is a running theme, right? And it's guessed that from this lack of burial comes the abundance of ghosts. People who visit the battlefield claim they have felt the shock of cannons going off. They can hear the sounds of soldiers and horses and even smell gunpowder in the air. These sightings aren't just linked to the anniversary of the battle, however, and these supernatural experiences occur regularly throughout the year. I thought it was interesting in a lot of these battles, of especially the Civil War, that people have this experience where they're around these mass graves that were quickly like dug and people were just kind of thrown in there, that they have like gotten glimpses of all these like soldiers like clawing at them, and they're like, what the heck is that? And then you don't see anything. So there were several stories about that. So like a lot of these soldiers are at unrest, I would say, to say the least.
Well, that's what they said in Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
That all, you know, a lot of the disturbances, hauntings that come from improper burials.
Just
know?
Be an awful way to go.
And they move them, and then they don't. Then they mess up the headstones, and they don't match, or they don't have headstones at all, yeah, and it's
so
just
so
disrespectful. And just, yeah, they just kind of like just need it. Yeah.
It's just an awful way to go in war. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
War is hell, let's be honest. But
yeah,
it is, to die in war is just sounds terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that is creepy. Yeah. I'm going to go back to the Savannah. There's a specific haunting. William Jasper, he is haunting going back to the Madison Square in Savannah. excuse me. One spot in Savannah that is known for paranormal disturbances is the popular tourist stop Madison Square. The square was named in honor of James Madison, the fourth president of the United States. One of the square's most frequently spotted ghosts is the spirit of Sergeant William Jasper, whose spirit is possibly tied to Madison Square as it holds a statue of him. We saw that, by the way. Jasper was killed during the siege of Savannah. William Jasper was killed during the battle against the British forces, but he was not forgotten in death. All across the country, there are counties and towns named after him. Though, for all the tributes to Jasper, only the monument in Madison Square can claim to have actually hosted the war hero. The spirit of William Jasper has been spotted countless times, roaming Madison Square, most likely readying him to fight the Redcoats once more. Jasper has good reason to be on guard, as his spirit is not the only one to have been sighted on the grounds of Madison Square. Over the years, there have been a steady intake of reports, people claiming to have witnessed ghostly figures running toward them with their tea and crumpets in a bunch, only for the shadowy presences to vanish right before their very eyes, perhaps spooked themselves by the apparition of the patriot William Jasper. So, yeah.
Don't drop your crumpet.
That's right, unless you're going to play your trumpet. No, no. You know, give me a break, okay? You know, yeah. Anyway, you guys have any other ones, Sean? Do you want to end on one? Or
I thought there was an interesting, as you know, we talk a lot about the land battles, but there were a couple good stories about air battles.
I was wondering about that.
There's one in World War One. There was an American pilot that had seen what he thought was an enemy plane, but when it came up on him, it was what the Valkyrie are.
Mm-hmm.
You remember hearing them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a Valkyrie, just so anybody out there doesn't know, is one of the a host of female figures who guide souls of the dead to the god Odin's hall, Valhalla. So we're talking Norse mythology, Ragnarok and all that good stuff. So he saw in this plane had markings of a Valkyrie and of Norse mythology. And she was basically kind of, he couldn't, and again, we might be talking about hallucinating, maybe under stress, strain, whatever, but it was not what he expected. And so he's trying to figure out, what am I seeing? And so he's chasing after her, but she starts taking off on, you know, a lot quicker trajectory than he can go. So she climbs up into the clouds and he goes after her, but his plane cannot withstand what her plane is withstanding. So he loses sight of her, basically. But it's this apparition type experience, and he could never figure out who that was, why the markings were so weird and look like old Norse mythology, and it was a female that looked like what he described as a Valkyrie. So that's weird. The other one was an interesting one. We all know the Red Baron, the stories of the Red Baron.
Oh, Snoopy.
Snoopy, exactly.
Playing, fighting the Red Baron.
That's right. But there's an actual Red Baron in World War One, and it is German pilot Manfred Freyr von Richenthofen, that's all made up, went down history as the famous Red Baron. He actually supposedly was sighted a UFO, you know, in his travels. According to the Red Baron, they spotted an unidentified flying object described as a looking like an upside down silver saucer with orange lights in the spring of 1917 while he was on an early morning mission in Belgium. The account went on to say that another World War One German Air Force ace, Peter Watzerich, witnessed the dogfight between his comrade and that of the UFO. And there were several stories about people seeing, you know, we're hearing like military guys now seeing UFOs. But it's interesting that this goes all the way back, some of these encounters, even to the Red Baron. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, can you imagine having a dogfight with a flying saucer?
That would be interesting.
There was a one of the battles they were talking about. Again, this is that mass hysteria type thing of seeing this. But they said that there was this object, and they were so scared, some of the men accidentally fired upon it, missiles and gunfire. And it was several craft, and they all converged together, this craft. And they said they could, these five beings or whatever came out of it and all this stuff. And then different people saw this. And apparently, it's almost like something out of Indiana Jones, but this blast of light came out. And they say that the men that were like standing directly there and like were hit by that light were turned into these stone pillars. Again, that's kind of a tall tale, but it's interesting of all these things on these battlefields and whatever that happened. I think that one's a little unbelievable, but there's, when you look into this stuff, there are so many stories out there. So who knows, you might see, you know, hopefully none of us are ever on a battlefield, but you never know when you might see a Valkyrie go by, or
I was on a battlefield.
In a dogfight. Well, this is true, but an active battlefield. How about that?
In
not
the words
a spectrum.
Of Ron Burgundy,
I don't believe you. But there are some wild things. I mean, this harkens back to like the occult Hitler. You know how we talked. Mm-hmm. We got some wild stuff on that.
Oh gosh, yeah.
But
that I remember.
So some of these stories, I'm not sure I believe, but they're fun to listen to. I mean, there's so many different, tons of battlefield stories and specters.
You just wonder,
ghouls out there. I love the
a lot of ghouls.
Fangs in the green.
A lot of boys and ghouls story.
It really is.
Well, that was good. That was ghouled.
My gosh, it went in directions I didn't even think it would go in.
Yeah. So I think the creepies will enjoy that. So excellent choice. So Sean, what do you have coming off of that?
Middle-aged. Dark side.
Dark side.
I'm full of these dark sides. So
full of something.
You got right. Yeah, I certainly am. This is going to be about war. This is a song about war. Does anybody want
what
to guess?
What is it good for?
Bloody Sunday, Bloody Sunday by U2.
It is not.
No?
No, but that's a really good guess. This is Metallica.
Ah, that was
one.
One, yeah. Uh-huh.
So, four
you
track.
Did you ever see that video?
Oh, yeah.
When that came out in the 80s, I was like, what is going on? That poor guy laying there, and he's just like, oh.
Four track on Metallica, and Justice for All is based on the novel Johnny's Got His Gun. A soldier in World War One is hit by a landmine explosion and takes his limbs and face, becomes a prisoner in his own body. That's the basic. It is such a sad song, but it's so good.
Oh,
so perfect.
Terrible.
It's so perfect for this, though.
Yeah.
So one goes, I can't remember anything, can't tell if this is true or a dream. Deep down inside, I feel to scream. This terrible silence stops me now that the war is through with me. I'm waking up, I cannot see that there's not much left of me. Nothing is real, but pain is now. Hold my breath as I wish for death. Oh, please, God, awake me. Back in the womb, it's much too real. in Pump's life that I must feel, but can't look forward to reveal. Look to time when I'll live, fed through the tube that sticks in me, just like a wartime novelty, tied to machines that make me be, cut this life off from me. Hold my breath as I wish for death. Oh, please, God, wake me. It's so sad. Now the world is gone. I'm just one. Oh, God, help me. Hold my breath as I wish for death. Oh, please, God, help me. This might be the darkest side we've ever had. Darkness imprisoning me, all that I see. Absolute horror. I cannot live. I cannot die. Trapped in myself. Body, my holding cell. Landmine has taken my sight, taken my speech, taken my hearing, taken my arms, taken my legs, taken my soul, left me with life and hell. So on that note, no,
I can hear that. You know,
oh, it's a fantastic, so intense, such like, a good song, but such a sad message. And it does. You feel trapped listening to that song, right? But seriously though, we talk about like what a way to go, and that's what I'm saying. Like looking at all these stories, looking at all these stuff.
I was a kid, like middle school or high school, when that came out, and it hit me hard, and I really didn't understand a whole lot. But I was like,
but now listening to those, I mean, if you just read those lyrics, like, ugh, that leaves you kind of empty inside. Yeah. But think about war. That is, I was telling this to Harrison the other day. Harrison was talking. We have interesting conversations sometimes. It's awesome. But he was talking. We were talking about war, and we were talking about his grandfather and my dad and all this, and some of the battles they would have seen and all this stuff. And he was like, Dad, if I had to go to war, would you make me go to war? Would they have a draft again? All these things. And I'm like, don't worry about that. Like, is that possible? Sure. But let's not think like that. And I said, you know, one of the things I
don't
remember.
Don't want my decrepitness.
Exactly. No, thanks.
We'll be fine.
I'm good. I opt out. But I told him, I said, you know, from my grandfather and your grandfather, I'd know one thing. War is hell. And avoid it at all costs. I know they used to tell me that all the time.
Yep. Yeah, that is a, yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, when that came out, I was like, holy cow, because the video makes it, you know, it was visual as a kid, I'm like, oh,
his home,
horrible.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, he's just laying there, and yeah, that's a major price.
Do we need a middle-aged moment, like,
we need like a middle-aged cleanser.
To counterbalance.
Yeah, that's, I'm depressed.
Okay, I got a funny, I'm not going to do the song. But we were at a bonfire the other night, and we were listening to different music. And somebody decided what we would do is we'd play a song, and you'd have to listen and decide who the artist was and what the song title was. Somebody played TLC's Creep. You know, do you remember that song?
I'm a creep.
No, that's another one. It's the So I Creep.
Yeah.
Because creeping is what I do. Oh, is that what you're singing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were singing. Yeah. No. I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo.
No, that's
yeah.
Yeah, no. I know.
But anyway, so TLC's Creep,
I know TLC.
I was thinking like, oh, this could be our podcast song, and then somebody goes,
no,
that's not ever gonna happen.
So
now that'll
thumbs down.
So that little,
I like the song, but
funny, right?
And I like them; they were good.
Mm-hmm. Left eye, poor thing.
I know.
Did she die in a plane accident? Is that right?
No, it wasn't a.
Wasn't it a safari bus or something?
Some kind of an accident,
what?
Wasn't it?
Okay, so we have safari bus, cancer, and a safari bus.
I was trying to crash. Some kind of tragedy,
wasn't it, though? Okay, Nate, yeah.
TLC left eye. We're going to have to look this up before we go.
Chili.
She died
left eye. And then,
well, she was eating a ham sandwich on the toilet. No, that was Mama Cass.
What was T?
Lisa Lopes, better known as stage name Left Eye, was an American rapper, singer who was a member TLC. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, here we go. Her life was tragically cut short on April 25th, 2002. Wow, that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
She died in a car accident in Honduras at the age of 30. Lopes' death is...
You were closer, at least.
But she had cancer. No, I was kidding. Lopes' death is considered one of the most tragic losses endured by music community over the past two decades.
Except for she was young.
Biggie Smalls and Tupac.
Yeah, but Michael Jackson. I'm not saying that.
Oh, no, I know, yeah.
But, I mean, you indulge in that lifestyle, then, you know.
I was interjecting on that last statement.
I like them. That was, after she set Andre Rison's house on fire, the football player played for the Colts and then the Falcons. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was a huge man. She lit that thing. Oh, man. She was not happy with Mr. Rison, her husband at the time. So, all right. Well,
so she creeps.
Nate's got,
because creeping is what she does.
No.
Oh.
No.
I could have swore it was like you know, like a bus on like a off-road type thing, and it
I don't know, it was in Honduras.
Well, you're at least
cliff or something
closer than cancer and a plane crash. And
I knew it was tragic. That's all aliens. I can think. Aliens.
You're right. And she was in a dog. Yellow-eyed. She was in a monster.
She was in a dog fight with the red bear. Remember during World War One. Or was it two?
And we're not making fun of her death. We're making fun of ourselves because
we're middle-aged and ridiculous.
Dopey. All right. Let's get to the announcements.
Second part of the announcements. Mm-hmm. You can follow us on our social media accounts. That's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. And you can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. We are on all podcast listening apps. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Tell someone you know or don't know about the podcast. We sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some. We offer many types of show sponsorship opportunities for individuals and businesses. It's another way for you to support us, get your name mentioned, and or your business promoted. The sponsorship money goes right back into the show for merch giveaways, future on locations, live shows, etc. So creep.
I did not burp. I moved my headphones.
I know.
Don't be saying excuse me.
Excuse you. There's no excuse for it. No,
that's true.
Please email us, reach out to one of us, or message us on Instagram for more information.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, almost excellent.
Because creeping is what I do.
Thank you, Sean. Nate, help us out, please.
I believe we had a really ghoul time. That's a wrap.
On the battlefield.
Awesome. We did have a ghoul time.
Good old time.
This is a battlefield, isn't it?
Life is a battlefield.
Oh, thank you, Nate. And, of course, thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 134 and our discussion on haunted battlefields. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.